The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
Well, you know what? It's time to go drag racing! 200 plus miles per hour.
Hey, Stevie, it is time. You know what time it is. It's time for Straight Lining with Stevie. And this is the show where we take a half an hour of and spend with some of the top four-wheel drag racers and then some of the two-wheel drag racers later on. Stevie, how you doing tonight, man?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'll tell you what, you talk about some of the top drag racers, by golly, we've got it tonight. No doubt about it. Right now, I'm talking with the legend in alcohol funny car. This is Mark Thomas. Mark, how you doing this evening?
Good, Steve. How you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, everybody thinks that the life of a famous, you know, funny car pilot is just, you know, so glamorous and everything. Mark, tell me where you're at right now.
Well, I'm combining soybeans up here in Northeast Ohio. I farm 2,300 acres and also have 900 head of dairy cattle. So in between feeding cows and combining soybeans. So I don't know if it's glamorous or not, but it's an awful, it's a really neat lifestyle.
Well, I'll tell you, it's not quite, it's not exactly at the casino living the good life. But well, maybe it is the good life, though, when you get down to it. Your life is really the American tradition. Living a farm in a farm community, and like I say, farming and so on has been your livelihood. It's been very good to you.
It has, and I do. I've always said I'm one of the luckiest guys in the world because I get the luxury of being in the limelight and drag racing and being in the public eye and autographs and whatnot. But then on the other hand, I get the wonderful life of being out here where, to me, it's wonderful. I can farm and not see a single house, and it's beautiful countryside, and to me, it doesn't get any better than that because it is, like you say, an American tradition, and I'm about as red, white, and blue as a guy gets.
There's no doubt about that. Now, you know, fans, Mark is also one of the advocates that's out there pushing the conversion of our vehicles into alcohol or methanol. And, in fact, if you've read the papers and so on, you know that Mark's been all the way to the Capitol building with this thing. Mark, that's really a big deal going on right now. What's happening on the latest on that?
It's very neat, Steve. You know, I've been on the bandwagon. We started clear back in 1990 pushing ethanol. And you know, back then fuel was cheap. And America and the rest of the world really didn't care because fuel was cheap. And now as we've run this turmoil of what might happen, what can happen, I've been very fortunate. I've been to the Capitol in Washington, D.C. four times to talk to Congress about the importance of American-made ethanol. Been to the White House. I've been asked by General Motors to, since GM had kicked off the Live Green, Go Yellow campaign, got behind the ethanol and American-grown ethanol. It's something that really, really is dear to me. I really feel fortunate. I just saw a thing this last week that was on the AP that they interviewed a couple guys in the petroleum industry, and petroleum hit a record, 84-something a barrel now, and you know, crude at 84 a barrel, our gas prices ought to be sky high. But they quoted, because of the pressure of ethanol, we have to keep our gas prices in check now. Now, you don't hear that on the paper or hear it on the magazines or read about it. All you ever hear is, you know, ethanol is driving the price of food up. And I believe that this is such a great thing, and it is coming full circle, and it's time that we do support
American-made
products.
Mark, on that very topic about prices and everything, that I heard today on the stock market was predicting that we're looking at $100. $100, the price will go up to $100 a gallon, or what is it, a drum, I guess, on a barrel. And the fuel prices are going to go right through the roof. But one of my dear friends, Doc Vanasek, who's also an announcer, told me that he said he just bought some E85 fuel for $2.28 a gallon. And everywhere, and it was either that, or if you went to the regular pump, you were paying $297. So it is having an impact.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. Yeah, up here in Ohio, we feel it good. There's a lot of chains are really getting behind the E85. Kroger, for one, all the Kroger stations, HEB grocery stores. Yeah, their fuel stuff, they keep their E85, 85% ethanol fuel, which is 107 octane. I feel that's a hot rider's dream, at 30 cents a gallon less than regular. If you add your fuel perks on top of that, you can save an additional 50 cents. So when you look at what you can do with this, and most people don't realize, we spend $270 billion, that's billion with a B, a quarter to OPEC, Saudi Arabia, Syria, Iran, and a lot of that money goes to people who hate our guts. We've got a great way of life over here, and we need to protect it.
Isn't one of the countries in South America, like, got this thing going huge with ethanol?
Yeah, yeah. In fact, Brazil.
Brazil, yeah.
They run 100% ethanol.
Right, right.
They're warm enough down there. They run 100% ethanol, and we need the E85, 85% ethanol, 15% gas. For those of us that live in the places where it gets cold at night sometimes in the winter, we need that 15% gas for the ease of starting. But other than that, yeah, Brazil is 100% ethanol.
Wow. Okay. Well, it is changing. And, you know, I used to tease Mark a long time ago. I used to, every time we fired his funny car up, it smelled like popcorn. But
and it does.
Yeah. Well, you know, you need to come down to Mark's pit one time. When he lights it up one time, you stand there, and then I'm waiting for the emails to tell me I'm wrong. You know,
no, it's totally different, you know, because we also totally lubricate our car on biodegradable corn oil, renewable corn growth oil, and it is just a fantastic thing. It has a 200-degree higher flash point, and by that I mean if you break an oil line or kick the rods out, it takes 200 degrees more to light it on fire. And the other thing is most petroleum oil gets used one run, maybe two at the most. We run our corn oil up to 8 runs, so it's a fantastic product, and another thing that we're proud of what we do.
What can the average person do to support this, Mark?
Well, I think the biggest thing, and one, if you buy an E85 compatible vehicle, by the end of the year, General Motors, over half their vehicles will be a free option. They'll run on anything from straight gas to 85% ethanol or any blend in between. Ford, Chrysler, all three of the big three make E85 vehicles. The foreign car companies, and I got a little dig there, they aren't near as behind this as what the American companies are. So I'm very pro-American anyhow. But just by filling up with ethanol helps to reduce our dependency on foreign oil. It helps to put, we've got 113 new ethanol refineries in the United States, and those are blue-collar jobs, white-collar jobs, transportation, and all the money stays in our economy. So anytime anybody can buy or use ethanol, E85, and if you drive away from an E85 pump, you feel pretty good knowing that what you just did is helping our country and doing your part for our men and women that are overseas fighting for our freedom.
You know, Mark, that's a very great point. Also, for all the hot rodders out there, you need to find out just what kind of modifications you may need to make to your motors. But just like what Mark just said, 107 octane. Hey, what, I mean, that reminds me of back in the old days, you used to have Sunoco 260. You know, it was
sure.
That was 104. 107 octane, that enables you just to go hog wild with your motors. Now, I believe there is
107 octane, and you look at that $2.25 to $2.48, whatever it is, a gallon. Yeah, it's a hot rider's dream.
Hey, you go buy, you buy a gallon of 110 right now, racing fuel, and I'll tell you what, you're looking at $8, $9, you know, sometimes $10 for a gallon. So, wow, this could change the face of not just drag race, but motorsports in general. You know, cost-wise, that's tremendous savings.
Sure it has. You know, and the IRL, the Indy Racing League, a good friend of mine was Paul Dana. Paul, unfortunately, was killed a year and a half ago in Homestead, Florida. But he had introduced and now is responsible for the Indy Racing League is 100% ethanol. So, yeah, I think it's neat what you can do for the race world. It's a neat thing. And then what you can do for our independency and everything else, it's just a win-win situation.
We know, we talked a little bit about the ethanol, but now it's time to talk a little bit about Mark Thomas.
Rockingham, huh?
Yep.
I love it.
It's time to go to the Rock, and you have got your hands full this year. Six world championships under your belt, but right now you've got all of Canada breathing down your throat in the machine of Rob Acheson, and back off no wings. There's a guy out there, a dark horse, that is waiting for one of you two to slip. It's Mr. Terry Monroe. So what is your plan of attack as you go into Rockingham?
Well, I've got some good feathers our way. I love the Rock. We've been fortunate enough to win there. Oh, my gosh, at least three or four national events. It's one of my most favorite tracks on the tour. The other thing is, it's not my first rodeo. I've been down this before. We've got six world championships. We're tied with Clay Milliken and Scotty Cannon for the only pro drivers to have six IHRA world championships, and we'd like to have number seven. I'm not going to go down there with any pressure other than the fact that I want to go have fun. It's the last race of the year. I love to race. I love the people. I love my hot rod. And the fact that I'm going to go down there with the intent to win this race, and if that happens, everything else falls into place. You know, there's so many scenarios that can happen. It's ours to win or lose. And at the same time, if you get too wrapped up in worrying what might happen, you lose the fun of what did happen. So you just go down there, and my mindset is go down there, have a good time, let's race hard. As soon as this race is over, Mark Thomas becomes a farmer nonstop. the racing gets put on hold till, and on my end, I mean, I still got to do sponsors and line things up and try and do things, but the racing kind of gets held up. On my end, I don't even go in a race car shop much till after the first of the year. The guys are there, but I've got to become a farmer. It's harvest time. So, as far as this race goes, and I look forward to it, I can't wait to get there. 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, I'm going to be driving a big truck and trailer and heading to the Rock. So I'm ready to do my thing.
Well, you know, we've talked about Mark Thomas, the farmer. We've talked about Mark Thomas, the race car driver. Curiosity, how did you get initially involved in drag racing, considering, you know, you were a major farmer up in the Ohio area, and I mean that consumes huge amounts of time. How did you ever get started in drag racing?
Well, I tell you what, when I look at growing up here in the '60s, being a young kid in the '60s and early '70s, and it was a muscle car year, and the guys that worked for my dad in the farm had muscle cars, and I can still remember trying to catch that. Chris Economaki in a wide world of sports, and a little bit of drag racing here and there. My old farmhouse I grew up in as a kid, you know, popular hot rod and car craft, super stock, hot rod, all of them had centerfolds, and they were plastered on my walls. I loved drag racing from the beginning. My perfect day when I was in the sixth grade was to work on the farm and then go to the races in the afternoon, and I drew a picture of two funny cars on the back. And here I am a bazillion years later, and I'm farming and drag racing. It was just something that was meant to be. It's in my blood. I don't know. I've just really been fortunate that I've been able to do the things that I do and have the same sponsor, and that's the Ohio Corn Marketing Program has been our main sponsor with the ethanol push, and the Michigan Corn Growers and South Dakota Corn Growers and EPIC, the Ethanol Promotion Information Council. Along with Summit Racing and General Motors now. But the Corn Growers have been behind me since 1990. And so I'm a very fortunate guy. I grew up with that passion that I wanted to drag race. And there's so many twists that come along the way, Steve, that you know how life is, that you never know what's going to happen next. And I'm just very fortunate to still be where I'm at.
Well, I'll tell you what, gang, probably about the best way, I guess, is the sum of Mark Thomas is Mark Thomas was just born to boogie. And boogie he does, guys. Already six world championships under his belt, and he's got a really nice clean shot at number seven. It's not a done deal now because Rob Acheson, tough competitor, our Canadian friend up there, has a few of those world championships under his belt as well, and he's right behind you. And, of course, Terry Monroe, don't slip, boy. He'll get you in a heartbeat. So lots of action coming down, and that's Rockingham Dragway. So if you want to get some real excitement, you definitely need to stay on top of what's happening in the alcohol funny car division because it's going to be an absolute great race. Mark, I'm excited. I'm extremely excited to come down there and see you. And probably one of the big thrills when we get out there and we have that low qualifier out there, and see if I get to see you out there maybe Friday or Saturday night, come out there and pick up those bonus points. That would be a major effect, I would imagine, on making you into the next round.
Well, Wood, right now we're, I believe, 37 or 38 points up. There's 20 points around. If we could get the last man standing award and get that extra 5 bonus points on Friday or Saturday or both, and Rob not, that would put us 2 full rounds ahead, more than 2 full rounds, which make it pretty easy for us. And all we have to do is qualify and win first round. But the scenario that is that it doesn't happen, then we've got to win the second round, which to guarantee you a championship win, we'd have to make it to the finals, and then it's ours for sure. So
this last man standing thing, really, what happens on Friday night could determine the world championship right then.
It does. It makes a big point. It makes a big difference, and it's really exciting, and it's really neat that it throws something into that new into the whole mix. When you look at a extra 5 points, you can pick up. Oh yeah, there's no doubt, because points are important, and you take that times 12 national events a year. And, that's a big deal.
Yeah, that's actually a lot of rounds. So, well, I'll tell you what, Mark, I want to thank you for coming on this evening. I appreciate you taking time, because truly you're one of the hardest working guys and tough to run down. And, in fact, folks, I will tell you that when I first finally got a hold of Mark, he was running a load of soybeans in his truck down the road. And the only way you ever get a hold of Mark, he's working.
I do that. I try to take midnight to 4 o'clock in the morning as my downtime. I try to sleep then. Other than that, I like to work. I think sleeping's a waste of time. And, like I said, I'm very fortunate for what I get to do. And I am going to, as we speak, I'm going to go move a couple big trucks around and keep cutting soybeans. So I look forward to seeing you at the Rock tonight. And everybody says I'm always smiling at the racetrack. And the reason is it's because I get to take a break. I get more sleep in the night there than I do a week at home. But like I say, anybody gets a chance, come out to the Rock, look us up, and above and beyond, come over and say hi. I love to talk. Steve knows that. And you get a chance to come to the racetrack, come on.
Well, there you go, guys. Mark Thomas, 6-time world champion. He's shooting for number 7, and it's going down, baby, this weekend at Rockingham. You don't want to miss it. Thanks again for coming on, Mark.
All right.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Well, Steve, you know, and not only that, he's a man on a mission besides, that's pretty
he's a
awesome.
Fine American, he truly believes in America, and he lives the American way of life, and like I say, you meet his family, the guys that work for him, just his entire operation, whether it be at the farm or it be with the race car organization, he's a perfect example of an American drag racer. You just couldn't ask to be any finer than that.
And we're going to come back here in a few minutes with Brian Falk, I believe.
Oh, yeah, Brian Falk. I'll tell you what, this is a guy. We talk about Mark Thomas going to be mixing it up. Brian Falk is dead on with Steve Furr, and we're rolling in for the final shot at who's going to be the world champion here in the sportsman divisions. And we're going to roll into a super rod. So it's going to be really interesting to talk to Brian Falk.
We'll be right back.
Purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the Brakeman. The Brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman. On the web at thebrakeman.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
They say those who can't play, coach. Apparently those who can't coach sit 30 rows back, shirtless, shouting obscenities.
That's right, mother...
Thanks to you, our team is armed with game-winning tips like catch the ball and throw it.
Shout it out loud.
You stink. That sucks. What a bunch of losers. Not just catcalls, but subtle psychological ploys to prod your team to victory.
Reverse psychology.
So here's to you, old Sultan of Shouting. Because while there may be no I in team, thanks to you, there's always an F and a U. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Power Master is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. Power Master is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no batteries filling. Power Master also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
CarNet.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNet.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNet.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNet gets it done.
And this is Straight Lining with Stevie on Wednesday night. Steve LeTemp and myself, Jack Smith. And I think Stevie's hooked up with Brian Falk right now.
Yeah, we have Brian Falk on here. This is a man that pretty dominant when it comes to the Super Rod class. And he races up north and has been extremely strong up there. And he has a southern counterpart who is pretty tough to tangle with as well. And they're duking it out right now. Steve Furr. In fact, the 2006 champion down south here out of North Carolina is getting loaded up right now and getting ready to roll into the Rock, and this is his home country. And Brian Falk says he's coming to play in the backyard, and he's coming with a hardball. What do you say, Brian? How are we doing this evening?
I'm doing wonderful. Quite an honor to be interviewed by you and Jack and yourself, and I'm really looking forward to getting to Rockingham sometime tomorrow. We're en route now. Got all seven of our hot rods and two rigs, so it's going to be very exciting.
You said seven?
All seven.
All seven of them? Like I said, folks, this is a serious, serious sportsman racer. Tell me a little bit about some of the rides that you do have in your trailers right now.
We got my dragster, which is 2007 undercover four-link car. All our cars have Scott Schaffer off race engines in them. And my brother has a stock Eliminator LS1 F-body Camaro. And my father also has an undercover car. My brother also has an undercover car. And then my buddy Forrest Lipke, which is Hillcraft.com, he is one of my inside sponsors, if you will. He has an undercover car as well. And then I have this 68 Camaro Roadster that I debuted earlier this year, I guess only about a month and a half ago. First time you've seen it was at Milan, where I was fortunate enough to double up. I won Top Dragster and Super Rod in the same day. And then I debuted it the week before in Osceola, Indiana, for a Pro-Am race, IHRA Pro-Am race. And I won Saturday and Sunday in that. That's how I was fortunate enough to be tied to Steve Furr. So that's the seven hot rods we have, and we also have my Red Cavalier, which I did not bring along this weekend, but I hope that was not a wrong decision by leaving that at home.
Well, let me ask you, how many trailers do you have going down the road with you right now? I know you got stacker trailers, but still, how many can you get in a trailer?
It's four in the one trailer and three in the other, or we can haul in this, what we call our smaller trailer. It can haul four dragsters or two dragsters in a door car, and the bigger trailer can haul two dragsters, two door cars. and they're both Gold Rush trailers out of Eparetto, Pennsylvania, and they are top-notch stuff, and I think you heard about a little mishap earlier in the year.
No, tell me about it.
On the way down to the million-dollar race, which is a big money bracket race, 2000 to enter race, and our golf cart caught on fire side of our trailer, and kind of smoked up my roadster a little bit, and my dragster and my brother's dragster. That was the three cars we had in that trailer at the time.
So you almost lost them?
We almost lost everything.
Oh, my.
In a matter of 2.5 hours, we were getting fuel north of Springfield, and then we stopped south of Springfield to check the load like we always do, going down the interstate just to see if they know things move because of these smooth roads we always travel. And I'll be darned if the thing didn't catch fire in that 2.5 hours' time and completely smother itself and put itself out because it couldn't get any oxygen because the trailer was sealed tight, and it's an aluminum trailer, but it burned the inside of the aluminum paneling. The whole trailer has to be reskinned after the winter series. We're going to
do
the winter series here in Florida before Thanksgiving, and when we get back from there, it's got to go back to Gold Rush to be reskinned. So, yeah, it has been quite a up-and-down season thus far, Steve.
Wow, I'll tell you what, that's got to be scary. Here, you know, here's a season where you're coming off winning doubles, and, I mean, just anything and everything. No matter what you get behind, you seem like you're able to take it, you know, right to the winner's circle. And something as a golf cart, a short somewhere in the golf cart, could have literally wiped you completely out and taken you right out of a shot at a world championship and God knows how much money. You know, so that's an incredible deal.
We were fortunate in one aspect that we didn't lose race cars, but we were very unfortunate in another aspect that we had this happen because it cost us a ton of man hours, and my brother has just been busting his butt doing final work, trying to make it look at least respectful, and as well as my father and mother trying to clean everything up, you know, send this to the chrome shop, get this to the powder coater. My rims used to be nice and shiny on the roadster. Now they're powder coated black, Steve, so you'll notice the difference. Bouncing tooth up there.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. Brian, we're talking about what you're about to do. Tell us how you got involved in it initially.
Well, my father's been involved with racing for since he was 15. He drove one down at Byron Dragway, showed the tech official his buddy's driver's license, and the guy never researched it any further, so he actually drove before he was even legal of age. You know, back then things were a little looser, I imagine, too, than they are nowadays. So he's been in racing his whole life. But I started in 1990 when I was 18, so now I've been racing 17 years, and I've never taken a year off, kind of like my father. I have changed, you know, I did some NHRA years ago, and now I'm more concentrating on the IHRA because it's more business friendly. If you have a small business to run like myself, you don't have to be going on Monday, Tuesday. You know, this race here in San Antonio is one of the ones you got to be gone the most for, but like Milan and Martin, the ones that are close to me, we generally leave on Thursday, and we're back to work by Monday morning, so that's a lot better than being gone from Tuesday to Monday or something. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to run a business when you're not there.
All right. Tell me about that business.
FolkRaceCars.com. We sell a lot of engine parts, you name it. Some of my sponsors are that we also push their products as well as use them on our car, J&J engine diapers, Spinworks racing wheels, ARP fasteners, Moser Engineering, Aeromotive, EP racing fuels, Glass Tech, crane cams, nitro plate, Shogun, dart blocks, cylinder heads, Autometer, Vizier, Hoosier racing tires. I mean, I can go on for another 10 minutes, Stevie. If it has to deal with racing,
that's got to be an advantage, I would think, because when you do have seven, well, actually, we've got eight cars, I guess, with the Chevrolet, but you've got parts and everything right there, and pretty well, it's a full-time job just maintaining these cars then.
Yes, it is a full-time job. I wish we had the finance to hire someone full-time to work or a little bit of sponsor, but we try to do everything ourselves. That way, there's no pointing fingers at anybody if something's not right, if you know what I mean. But it has pluses and minuses like any job for them. You know, you got to compete with the higher end mail order places to stock the stuff. It's worth a lot of drop shipping. You know, I'll call Autometer and I'll drop ship.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let me ask you this. All right, you're coming into Rockingham. Now, you're, like I say, I already teased a little bit about you're coming down to Steve Furr's backyard. How have you done in Rockingham in the past? Is this a track that you're comfortable at? Have you had problems with it? I just, how does Rockingham treat you when it comes to racing?
I won top dragster there in 2002, and I've run it up in a couple of those Mr. Gasket, Mallory Ignition, Excel Ignition shootouts. You're aware of those, Steve, right?
Oh, yeah.
Fortune Racers, I run it up in three or four of those over the years. So I can honestly say, and my brother won top drags through there last year. He beat Scott Duggins in finals. So as a team, it has been a good track. It's not one of my favorite tracks on the tour, but like you said, you got to take the good with the bad. And I made the first national event in 2007 in San Antonio, and now I'm making the last one, and it's number six for me. So I'm looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to this added pressure of the World Championship as well. So,
are you going to put Steve Furr on the treadle first round?
Well, that's my ideal dream is to do that, but things don't always go as planned, and he has a track record at this track that is above and beyond anything that you and I talked about. I think he's probably staged in more finals at this track than I've entered at this track, so that's kind of an unfair matchup.
Well, I think it's going to be an exciting matchup. There's really no doubt in my mind whenever you two guys do finally clash. I assure you, that's when I'll be on the microphone, and I'll be up on the chip, as I know you guys will be, too. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm really looking forward to seeing you guys coming in there. So, Ryan, I'm going to stop by in the pits for sure and take a look at your fleet. And I think, guys, when you listen, it almost sounds like as Brian Folk heads down to Rockingham, it's kind of like a freight train rolling down there full of race cars. He's coming to play hardball, and, I mean, he has got a pile of them. So these seven Folk race cars coming in to compete here at the Rock. It's going to be exciting sportsman racing. Brian, I wish you all the best, my friend. And I have a dilemma. Steve Furr is a dear friend, and so are you. So it's like when the light turns green, I'll just close my eyes, and I'll open them up, and we'll see who wins on the other end. I'm not going to say a word all the way down track. I don't even want to read the increments till it's over with. But I do wish you the best, my friend. Listen, thanks again for coming on this evening, and look forward to seeing you at the Rock, and as I do with all the racers, guys. It's going to be some exciting racing. Tonight you heard us talk about Mark Thomas, and now you heard a little bit about Brian Folk, a little bit of pro, a little bit of sportsman. But when I say a little bit, it is the best, the cream of the crop in both. Brian, thank you again for coming on.
Thank you, Steve.
All right. Cool. Hey, Steve.
Yes, sir.
You know, he has a brother, too, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
This whole family competes in this, though.
Yeah, there you go. Cool.
This is a family affair. It's seven race cars. Can you imagine it? Oh, baby.
All right.
We don't own two of the seven. My buddy Forrest, remember I mentioned he owns two of the seven, but either way, he's a big part of our team, and we maintenance his cars for him. That's part of the deal, as him owning the one of the trailers. So yeah, it's definitely a team effort. No I in team, that's for sure.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, guy.
Hi.
It looks like now,
thank you, guys.
Thank you. Looks like Jack, it's time now to throw two wheels away.
Yep,
we're going down to the two wheels to the nitro.
Yeah, we're gonna
but the Harley boys.
Yeah, we're gonna definitely shift some.
Take care, guy.
We're gonna definitely shift some gears here, and we'll be right back.
Absolutely.
The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the Brakeman. The Brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman. On the web at thebrakeman.com.
Power Master is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power Batteries. Power Master is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XS Power Batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power Batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. Power Master also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
They say those who can't play, coach. Apparently those who can't coach sit 30 rows back, shirtless, shouting obscenities.
Oh, that's right, motherfucker.
Thanks to you, our team is armed with game-winning tips like catch the ball and throw it.
Shout it out loud.
You stink. That sucks. What a bunch of losers. Not just catcalls, but subtle psychological ploys to prod your team to victory.
Reverse psychology.
So here's to you, old Sultan of Shouting. Because while there may be no I in team, thanks to you, there's always an F and a U. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
You know what? It's time to go drag racing! 200 plus miles per hour.
And it is drag racing on two wheels. I'm Jack Smith. We're here, with Stevie LaTemp. This is the staging, straight lining with Stevie show. Getting too many buttons going here at one time, Stevie. I'll tell you what, I got too many things cooking here at one time. But I guess we have we're hooked up with Michael Ray.
Well, Michael yeah. Ray was somebody that really shocked me this weekend in the All Harley Drag Racing Association. I just got through running at the Rock. Mike Ray competes in this class called Hot Street, and right now seems to be the hottest thing out there going. The records were falling like flies. The records fell up in Virginia, and I thought, you know, that's probably as low as this thing's going to go. And all of a sudden, the name Michael Ray pops up on the board, and the Hot Street records start falling in the eighth and the quarter mile both. I want to say, Mike, I believe you said him, what, four or five times in one weekend?
I believe just about we reset the record every time we went down the racetrack from first round of qualifying Saturday morning to the initial backup within 1% record run. We ran that in the final round. We qualified Saturday morning with a 9.85, which was good enough to bump the record down. Then we continued with a 9.83 and then a 9.84 Sunday night. And first round, I just went up there and just laid it all out on the table and went to 9.68, which set the new nationally last time record.
Yeah, you're an announcer's dream. When something like that happens, boy, It really gets me pumped up, and boy, you were flat getting it done. You're based out of Texas, isn't that right?
Yes, sir. Out of New Braunfels. It's a town of about 35,000, just north of San Antonio.
So
Do you travel the circuit, or are you just, like I say, this is the first time that I had the honor. Of course, I'm pretty new to the Harley guys. Do you do a lot of racing with the All-Harley Drag Racing Association?
Well, in 2005 and 2006, myself and Alamo City Harley-Davidson and Green Harley-Davidson, we campaigned a S&S 124 Challenge bike built by G-Squared Motorsport, and we won the first. We won 9 consecutive races in 2005, and actually I won my first national championship in AHDRA. Then in 2006, again with the help from Alamo City Harley and Green Harley-Davidson, we defended our S&S 124 Challenge Championship and also campaigned a V-Rod Destroyer, and we're the first ones to win the V-Rod Destroyer National Championship. So my history goes pretty good back a couple years with HDRA, and this year we ran a few races early in the season, but with the right connections with Lozano Brothers Sporting and Vroom Racing, I got involved with the NHRA, National Hot Rod Association. So we've been running a few of those races this year. This Rockingham was just a race to come back and just have a good time with a bunch of old family friends.
Well, I'll tell you what, you had more than a good time, like I say, with a national record going down almost every single pass. Curiosity, how hard was the tech department looking at that bike when you got through with it, when the day was over?
Of course there were some questions, but they had done their technical their protest procedures when the bike was raced in Rockingham. There were some people that had protested, and HDRA was kind of had their own. You know, they wanted to see what was going on because it had been a few years since anybody had reset the record in Hot Street. So they looked at it pretty good in Richmond and, you know, found it to be perfectly legal. And there was a couple other things that they were just concerned about, but nothing real major. The technical department at HDRA with Bill McGrew, me and him go back several years, and he knew that everything was legit, that I wasn't going to come up there and misrepresent my sponsors and take a chance on riding an illegal motorcycle like that. So they were pretty cool. You know, everybody had their questions, but everybody had a pretty good idea that everything was legal.
Well, I know you speak about Bill McGrew. It's no nonsense with Bill, I will tell you.
Oh, yeah, no, he
goes after, if he says you're legal, you're legal.
Oh, yeah, and they do a great job. They do a very fantastic job. So, you know, I was, he was very, very calm about it and, you know, very patient with me. You know, we knew that what was going to, you know, if anything was going to happen, he was giving me enough time. And so everything was real professional this weekend, which made it a lot more fun rather than coming out and doing really well. And it would take a little bit, it'd take a lot away from the record if people would have claimed us being cheaters. But we came out and we were perfectly legal, and that made it that much better because everybody there was just, everybody I think was in such awe, you know, so it was a lot of fun.
No, it was, because every time you came up, it just, finally on day number two, I said, well, ladies and gentlemen, here we go. Probably another national record's going to go down in Hot Street, and you never let me down.
Man,
it was incredible.
The track staff at the Rock did a fantastic job of. We had perfect track conditions, and the air there was just. That's what makes Rockingham the coolest track that I think HRA goes to, because the fans are wonderful. The track staff is amazing. So when the conditions are right, you know, just watch out. You know, you look at Chip Ellis; he made some of the quickest runs in NHRA history, and of course AHDRA history this weekend. So the Rock is a special place to go to, and to get to come and set some more national records there. You know, I still hold the AHDRA V-Rod Destroyer national record at 903, set at the Rock a year ago. So that's a great place to come to.
Well, I'll tell you what, we got to see you at the Rock. Are you going to go out to California? Are you going to be able to compete at Pomona?
Well, I'm not sure yet. I don't have any plans right now. I would definitely love to. I've got plans of coming back out from Las Vegas to the World Finals and you know, running in the Screaming Eagle High Stakes Shootout. And we got plans to come out and do that. But as of right now, I don't have anything to ride. I'd love to come ride something. But, you know, if not, we're going to go to the final two NHRA national events. So after that, I would definitely like to come finish off my rookie year in NHRA and a real good year in AHDRA by coming out and running the last two.
Well, let me ask you, how do you compare the two sanctioning bodies as far as, you know, competition? I realize it's pretty tough, you know, over the NHRA and everything. How do you find the families? Are they very similar as far as long and so on, pretty well?
Yeah, I mean, you know, NHRA, it's a very professional organization. You have very major corporate sponsors, not saying that AHDRA doesn't, but in NHRA, it's very professional, and everybody has so much respect over there, just utter respect for all the race teams. I mean, just being a part of that show, you know, they made the Elite 16 over there. And AHDRA, those guys are the sportsmen. Those guys are diehard racers that race week in and week out, that aren't, you know, it's like Jeff Gordon said, some of the best racers in the world are the guys that run on a Saturday night dirt track somewhere. We're just, we're the select few that got invited to come participate in NHRA. The competition level in NHRA, yeah, I'd say it's maybe a little more competitive, but V-Rod Destroyer and not taking it Hot Street, those are classes that you get left, you know, somebody has better reaction time than you, you might not drive back around them. So,
well, you know what, when you talked about reaction times, you know, Charlie Douglas, who you beat in the finals, he did put a hole shot on you now.
Yeah,
you know. Good on the tree, yeah.
Oh, and it was great. I mean, we, you know, not taking anything away from them guys. They can, people say, oh, man, they're just, you know, a bunch of good old boys out there having a good time on Sunday. No, these guys are cutthroat. And, you know, I knew going into the finals that I couldn't give him an inch. And we actually left the start line at about half track. I looked out at my visor and I was like, oh, man, I'm in trouble now. And, yeah, you know.
He put one on you on the tree. And it, and fortunately, the power that
yeah.
bike of yours possessed managed to pull you on around him. But, like, you know, Charlie Douglas, had you not gone in there and lowered the record, Douglas was running right on the old record.
Oh, yeah. There was, you know, Charlie Cannon, Charlie Douglas, there was a bunch of the guys that had never really run in the nines that consistently that really stepped up in a big way. And that's a real good thing. That was one positive thing I heard out of a lot of people was the class has so much potential to be a mid to high 9 second street bike class. But a lot of guys just, you got to have that kind of effort. I mean, it's just, you know, it's like watching Chip Ellis go run 680s. Everybody else is going, hey, we can do that too. You know, it's not the horsepower. Everybody out there, the rules are the rules. Everybody's got similar horsepower. You got to be a little more aggressive and kind of look outside the box a little bit. And I was really glad to see that a lot of nines came out of that day.
Yeah, it was an absolutely great weekend. Well, listen, Mike, I really want to thank you for coming on, and I wish all the best to you, too, with your shot over there at NHRA. I would love to see you excel in that, but I also want to see you come back home, too, to the boys of the Harley Drag Racing Association.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I just want to take a second to say thanks to all my sponsors. Lenny Winiski, he owns the bike I rode, but I got tons of sponsors from Alamo City Harley and Green Harley Davidson here in San Antonio. Vroom Racing, Lozano Brothers Porting, I mean, just everybody. It was a big team effort all weekend, and it was great. And I just want to thank everybody from Outlaw Fuels. This was my first time to ever really work with them, and that's a class act over there, a class act. And it's good to have a lot of track support from them. And just everybody from AHDRA, all the staff members and all the racers I've been racing with for the past 2 years, those people are my family, and to get to come home to family and you know, it was just a dream weekend. It truly was.
I know it was exciting for me. Well, ladies and gentlemen, like I said, we do have to run as we have to move on, but you know, I just want to say it to everybody that Michael Ray in Hot Street is truly one heck of a racer. And if, anytime you see that name, whether it be in the All Harley Drag Racing Association or with NHRA, it doesn't matter, be ready for some action because, Mike, I will say this, you can flat ride. Mike, thank you again for coming on.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good one, my friend.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, Steve.
He is really just a fine, fine young man. Really is. And he can ride. Well, I tell you, can he ever.
Yeah, I know that I remember when all that was happening right there at towards the late afternoon. You were getting pretty excited up there, man.
Oh, I get wound up. I mean, to me, I feel the energy and of these guys, and I understand what's about to happen, and the blood, sweat, the tears, and the agony that they've sometimes gone through to get to that point. And when you know, here it comes, it's going to happen, you know, and oh, man, and when it does, it's a great feeling, absolutely great feeling.
We'll be right back. We're going to hook up with Chip Ellis.
Sounds great to me.
Our
Power Master is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. Power Master is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. Power Master also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction race team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the Brakeman. The Brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman. On the web at thebrakeman.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
They say those who can't play, coach. Apparently those who can't coach sit 30 rows back, shirtless, shouting obscenities.
Oh, that's right, motherfucker.
Thanks to you, our team is armed with game-winning tips like catch the ball and throw it.
Shout it out loud.
You stink. That sucks. What a bunch of losers. Not just catcalls, but subtle psychological ploys to prod your team to victory.
Reverse psychology.
So here's to you, old Sultan of Shouting. Because while there may be no I in team, thanks to you, there's always an F and a U. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
We're back with Straight Line.
Looks like, once again, live radio strikes.
Live radio has a way of making things always interesting, but that's why we do it. That's exactly why we do it. You get scoops and you get things coming out of the woodwork, and then you get people's cell phones who go to machines. You know what I mean?
And unfortunately, guys, that's what happened at this evening with Chip Ellis. We're unable to make connection with him. And it's hard to say. With Chip doing so much traveling, he could be very well in a zone to where we just flat can't get to him right now, but we can't reach him.
But you had some things. We have some things. You had some background there on Chip, and then I had a couple of questions for you.
Well, you know, just a couple things I did want to mention about Chip. This weekend in Rush Performance Exhaust Pro Gas, Chip reset the record again, and he's quite the individual. Young man out of Plains, Georgia, really, really did an absolutely great job of riding out there, and he's a fine young man. I was hoping that we were going to be able to get him on the air. I talked to him earlier, and for whatever the reason is, unfortunately, we're sitting out there to where I just can't run him down. So it's kind of a bummer. But I'm sure we'll hear from him probably not long after the show's over, saying, "Oh my God, I couldn't get through." But Chip drove the record down to a 6.87 at 193 mile an hour in a Rush Performance Exhaust Pro Gas, which is just flat flying. And Chip Ellis, if you're familiar with that name, you'll hear that quite frequently over at NHRA, as he runs both NHRA and, of course, in the All Harley Drag Racing Association as well. Just a super individual, and one of the best riders, you know, probably in motorsports, and his record in both NHRA and, of course, over here with my guys is absolutely impeccable. He's just one super dude. But I would have loved to have got him on the air tonight. But
yeah, we'll do it another time.
Absolutely.
Stevie, I got a question for you. What is a couple of things. One is does the NHRA have as many events like during the year for the Harley Drags as the All Harley Drag Racing Association?
Well, there's two forms of bike racing at NHRA. They have a regular bike class, and then they also have a special class for the Nitro Harleys. And I'm not sure if it's about, I think it's around six times a year that they have them come over and run a special class with the NHRA. So you can see Nitro Harleys at some of the NHRA races, but not all. Now, they do have the regular pro bike class that they run, and now you'll see them at almost all the races. And that is the class that that you'll see Chip Ellis competing in, is the regular NHRA class. He does not run a Nitro Harley.
Gotcha. And then the IHRA, do they also have Harley drags?
You know, the IHRA back a few years ago, used to run the Nitro Harleys at all of their events. And they did this for about 3 years. And then sponsor problems or whatever the deal was. You know, like I said, I'm just the announcer. I don't know really the full detail on it. Unfortunately, they left us. And they always tell me how much they miss us. And I thought, you know, when it comes to IHRA, looking at the Nitro guys, we miss them probably 10 times more because they were just a super group, and I wish they could come back again. And of course, that may happen. I have no idea. But it was a lot of fun watching them, a unique bunch of guys. And I thought whenever those days were done, you know, they were gone, I thought, well, that was it. So when I had the opportunity to come over and be part of the All-Harley Drag Racing Association again, I got all pumped up and excited because I thought, oh, my gosh, I get to see those crazy guys again. And believe me, they're crazy. They're just a lot of fun to be with. But, you know, unfortunately, no more IHRA right now anyway.
Gotcha. Well, you know, this was the first time, as you know, that I had been to one of the All-Harley Drag Racing events. And I've seen some Harley dragsters here and there once in a while. Never really paid much attention to it. It was just something at the drag strip that I happened to be at. You know, and I've never been really, really involved in all the different motorsports I cover. I've never really been that involved in drag racing until this year. And this was my second trip to the Rock, my first time seeing the All-Harley Drag Racing. I thought this was a very, very cool event. I thought it was very well run. I thought it was extremely professional. And, man, I still can't quite get my head around these guys and gals that do this, man. It is really, really awesome.
Well, you know, Jack, one of the things that a lot of the listeners, if they'll go to our site and look at the picture section on the Harleys, there's one shot. It's about the second page in, I guess, something like that. They're going to see, and I'll tell them, these were two Nitro Harleys, and this is about at the 60-foot mark. And there, when the picture was snapped, it is literally two blurs. You cannot tell. I mean, anything about these things. And I thought, oh, and this is, they're not more than 100 foot out of the hole. And already, when the camera was snapped, it was just two blurs. And it's really a neat picture. That is probably the best picture I have seen that will give you the feeling of how fast these guys are. So if you get a chance, you need to go in there and take a look at the picture side one time. I think it's about two pages in.
That was funny. Yeah, that was.
Now, the only reason I knew that they were top fuelers, because on just one of them, I could read the tag, and I saw TF, and there was a number. I said, oh, these are fuelers. Otherwise, you wouldn't have known, because you can't even tell they're bikes. It's unreal the way they accelerate.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And, you know, I wasn't expecting you know, I mean, when the top fuel guys come out, you better have earplugs in, and you know, I mean, they'll get you.
Well, you know, it's the old story. This is nitromethane, and there's nothing more explosive and deadlier in all of motorsports than just a couple little squirts of nitro.
What seemed like there in the late stages of the afternoon on qualifying there on Saturday. And I don't understand this. I don't know. What are the names of these two lanes and why?
Well, when you see names on the lanes, that indicates the sponsor. There'll be a sponsor who will purchase that lane.
Gotcha.
He will get a scoreboard with his name on it.
Gotcha.
You know,
okay.
And, so you'll see two different names down there. Those guys are sponsors who foot the bill, you know, which helps keep that track in the condition it's in.
Yeah, that right side lane had some bad luck going there in the late afternoon when the shadows started getting long, didn't it?
Well, you know, and that happens too. When the shadows start to come across the track, it starts splitting that baby in two. And I will tell you, the only negative thing at the Rock, and I guess it's not that bad, but is when it gets about 4:30, you have to ride right into the sun.
Oh yeah, it's blinding.
The skills are tested to the maximum.
And, yeah,
I've asked several guys, how do you handle that? And a lot of them said, they'll look to the side, and they'll follow markers. If it's blinding them, if it's blinding them real bad, they're not going to try and penetrate, through the glare of the sun directly in their eyes. That, they'll follow the lines.
And what's coming up next for the All-Harley Drag Racing Association?
Well, coming up next, we're going to make a trip all the way out to California. We're going to Pomona. And that's going to be a really, really interesting race. Pomona is one of the legends in drag racing drag strips, probably one of the oldest. And there's more history that can be talked about at Pomona. And it's going to be a really unique experience. I mean, it's going to be really cool. I'm looking forward to that. Some beautiful country. In fact, when you look in the rear of staging in Pomona, and you can see the mountains off in the background, and everything. It's just a gorgeous setting.
Yeah, and I understand you're going to be doing some California dreaming. You're going to be out there a couple of weeks.
Well, I'm going from Pomona, and then we're going to load right up, and no rest for the wicked. As we are going to head into Vegas, and we have the finals at Vegas, and then of course, we will also have our banquet following the finals as our season will come to a close, which I hate to see that happen, but it happens every year. It has to be, but it will be an action-packed finals as well. And one of the neat things about going west, you'll find in the All-Harley Drag Racing Association, there's two divisions. We have an Eastern and a Western division. Now, a lot of the guys, they cross over and they race both sides. But a lot of the guys out west that are some real heavy hitters are not financially able to make this trip. So we're going to see a lot of new names coming up and very possibly some new winners that we haven't seen, come up previously this year. So I'm looking forward to that. So it should be some really, really great racing.
Well, you know what I'm looking forward to? I'm already can't wait till Gainesville.
You know, it won't be that long.
As a matter of fact, Stevie, I've already got two reporters lined up to help get some coverage on this, and we really do. I'll be ready. This was just a little adventure to go check it out. We'll be ready when Gainesville comes.
Really, really cool. Really, yeah. You know, Gainesville, a brand new tower going up, a lot of remodeling going on at Gainesville. I think a lot of the guys when they come into Gainesville, in the early spring when we start our season off, we're really going to be surprised how Gainesville is going to look. It's going to have a total new look to it now.
Yep. And then now this week you will be back at Rockingham again for the
rolling over to the
the
World Finals at Rockingham for the International Hot Rod Association. And that is going to be awesome. You heard me talk to Mark Thomas this evening, and here's a guy going for his seventh World Championship, which has never happened in the IHRA for any man to hold seven world titles. And also in the pro class and also in the sportsman class, Brian Folk, super nice guy. And I like to tease him. He's a Yankee coming down south to play in our backyard, And I got a good old boy by the name of Steve Furr that can flat, swing a baseball bat. And if you want to play baseball with him, there's going to be a lot of home runs. So those two guys, but I will tell you, they're going to be pretty even. In fact, I would say it's a flip in a coin. That's going to be some really good racing as well. Yeah. I think it's going to be really cool.
And there'll probably be big crowds just like there was in March.
Oh, I'll tell you what. Yeah, without a doubt, race fans, you need to get there early. I'm telling you.
No doubt.
Voice of experience, because it will be wall-to-wall race cars and wall-to-wall people as well. Absolutely awesome. You know, the one thing before we do slip off tonight,
sure,
that's something a little cute I wanted to mention. And guys, this may sound crazy, but you always wonder, in fact, we often mention how you need to promote yourself and to look for sponsorships and find new ways, to get out there and sell yourself to to help put that bill on those bikes and the cars that you love so much. And here's a guy that this is the first time I've ever seen this done. If you go on the eBay and IHRA Nitro Funny Car, go in there and check it out. There's an IHRA Nitro Funny Car that you can purchase a single race sponsorship. Think about this, guys. And he put a price on it, and on there's a contract stated down there just what it's all going to involve. And he said, buy it now for $10,000, or you can bid on it. Well, there's been seven people that have bid on it. It's up to, I think, like $1,125. And you need to go in and read this contract. This is a cool deal. That $1,125 is going to go in his pocket. Yet the sponsor has some obligations down there, and it's going to cost the sponsor for things like crew shirts, decals, etc., which really, for a sponsor to have a Nitro Funny Car in the World Finals, this is nickels. But yet, you know, the old story, that he's going anyway. So he was really on the ball on getting this thing done. Andy Kelly is the gentleman with Kelly Motorsports. Here's a Nitro Funny Car that he's been way over 300 miles per hour. I mean, he's laid down some excellent runs. He's very competitive, and he could win it. And just think, if going there, you can imagine what it costs to sponsor one of these cars. You know, we're talking millions of dollars goes down to do a season. And he's saying, you want to get on board? Here's a one-time shot. We're going to put you in the most press that IHRA is going to have all season long, the most prestigious race. This is the World Finals. And as of right now, there is one man who's got a shot at sponsoring this thing for $1,125. Now, for any big corporation, I don't have to tell you, that's nothing. But you know what? For Andy Kelly, that's a $1,000 bill in his pocket.
Yep.
That will help pay some bills that, you know, he was going to race anyway.
I wouldn't be surprised if Andy Kelly just started a trend.
It makes sense. It really does. I think it's really cool. You guys can go on eBay and check it. I'm not trying to push eBay. I'm not trying to push Andy Kelly. I'm just trying to let you know, here's a racer that sat there and said, you know,
ingenious.
Do something different, and I'd be doggone if he isn't doing it.
All right. We'll be back next week with more Straight Lining with Stevie, where we cover the world of drag racing on four wheels and two wheels as well.
Oh, and remember, guys, I'm going to talk to you about the World Finals with IHRA at the Rock. Oh, it's going to be wild.
All right, Stevie, we will talk to you soon.
Take care, guy.